Take your Bibles, Exodus 23. Let's all stand together. I'm going to read some verses to you and have you sit right back down. I know exactly where I'm going, honey. Be quiet. Exodus chapter 23 and verse 20, the Bible says, "Behold, I send an angel before thee to keep thee in the way and to bring thee into the place which I have prepared. Beware of him and obey his voice. Provoke him not, for he will not pardon your transgressions, for my name is in him. But if thou shalt indeed obey his voice and do all that I speak, then I will be an enemy unto thine enemies and an adversary unto thine adversaries. For mine angel shall go before thee and bring thee in unto the Amorites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Canaanites, the Hivites and the Jebusites, and I will cut them off. Thou shalt not bow down to their gods nor serve them, nor do after their works, but thou shalt utterly overthrow them and quite break down their images. Ye shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless thy bread and thy water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of thee. There shall be nothing cast, nothing shall cast their young, nor be barren in thy land. The number of thy days I will fulfill. I will send my fear before thee and will destroy all the people to whom thou shalt come. And I will make all thine enemies turn their backs unto thee. I will send hornets before thee, which shall drive out the Hivite and the Canaanite and the Hittite from before thee. I will not drive them out from before thee in 1 year, lest the land become desolate and the beast of the field multiply against thee. By little and little I will drive them out from before thee, until thou be increased and inherit the land. And I will set thy bounds from the Red Sea even unto the Sea of the Philistines, and from the desert unto the river, for I will deliver the inhabitants of the land into your hand, and thou shalt drive them out before thee. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor with their gods. They shall not dwell in thy land, lest they make thee sin against me. For if thou serve their gods, it will surely be a snare unto thee." Brother Bob, could you lead us in prayer tonight? Amen. You may be seated. To sum these verses up very quickly, God is telling his servant, "You obey me, I will bless you." I mean, let's face it, there's not a whole lot of thought process here that says that it might be construed as something else or it maybe has something else to deal with. No, God is saying, "You listen to me and you do what I say, I will take care of you." He didn't say you'll have to fight battles. He didn't say you'll have to take up the sword. He said, "I will drive out the people before me. I will do these things, but you have to obey me." In these next few verses in chapter 24, starting in verse 1, he says unto Moses, "Come up unto the land, thou and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel, and worship ye afar off. And Moses alone shall come near the Lord, but they shall not come nigh, neither shall the people go up with him." We see here in the next few verses that they have a blood sacrifice, a covenant with the Lord at this time. And that covenant says, "We will obey you." That's their covenant. Pretty simple. I have a covenant with my children, obey me or get punished. That's the covenant. And there may be blood involved if they don't. But understand this, I want my children to obey me. Now, years and years ago, Dr. Hiles, who I believe was one of, if not the greatest preacher to ever walk the face of the earth. Fantastic preacher. Preached a message called "Be There." I heard that message, I just listened to it not too long ago. I actually stole that message and preached it, and I've been told that's okay to do by preachers, so I'll go ahead and not do under the sun, amen. But I got to looking at this again, and I want to show you something that I found very interesting. I probably won't take long tonight, but I can't promise anything. And we've got the Bible here setting this up. Things are going well, amen. I mean, the Lord is saying, "Listen, I'm giving you these promises." And let me tell you something. God has promised you wonderful and great things that you don't know because you don't read about it. It's amazing to me how we as defeated Christians believe that God can't do things anymore. See, I believe God's still doing them. Oh, they may not be the magnanimous miracles, although he could. They may not be the grandeur things, although they could. But he's still doing miracles every single day. Great and mighty, wonderful things. And if you read these verses, he gives you great promises if you just do what he says. But I want you to understand, they make this covenant together. And I want you, in verse 7 it says, and he took the book of the covenant and read in the audience of the people, and they said, all that the Lord hath said, we will do and be obedient. These people are making a great promise. Preacher, a wonderful message this morning about keeping your promises to God. They said, we will do and be obedient. And Moses took the blood and sprinkled it on the people and said, behold, the blood of the covenant which the Lord hath made with you concerning all these words. Then went up Moses, Aaron, and Nadab, and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel, and they saw, read this with me now. And they saw the God of Israel. And there was under his feet, as it were, a paved work of sapphire stone. And as it were, the body of heaven in his clearness. I don't think there's a way to describe that in the English language apart from what you've got right there in your old King James Bible. And upon the nobles of the children of Israel, he laid not his hand. Also they saw God and did eat and drink. And the Lord said unto Moses, now here it is, come up to me into the mount and be there. I want you to see this again. I want you to read this. The Lord saying, come up to me into the mount and be there. Not only come, but also be there. Now, I could sit and preach this message and just say, you know what? It sure be nice if when you'd come to church, you'd be here. In the middle of this electronic age of cell phones, nothing drives me more crazy than watching a person take a text in the middle of a message. I swear to you, one of these days I'm going to come down and jerk a cell phone out of somebody's hand and put it in a baptistry because they're answering a text message while somebody's preaching. You coming to church, but you're not here. You're coming to church, but you didn't come waiting for a blessing. You came because it looks good. I don't know why you came. If you're not going to listen to the message, don't come. I don't understand it. God is saying to Moses, I want you to come up to the mount. And when you get there, he's got something pretty important to tell him. And we're going to go over what he tells him. Moses, when you get here, I want you to be here. Now listen, there's nothing better, in my opinion, there's nothing better than showing up to church and getting blessed. There's nothing better than showing up to church and having the preacher fire your britches and get you all fired up and get you all ready to serve God and get you all ready to go out and face the world throughout the whole week, and this old world beats you to death. All the different stupidity that goes on through the world every single day. Glory to God, I can't wait to Sunday. I can't wait to Wednesday. I can't imagine missing church. And I say that only because I love to be around God's people. I love to be around God's word. I love to be around God's music. I love to be in God's house. I love to be around God's altar. Let me tell you, you're a preacher. Let me tell you, I'm a sinner. And this sinner needs this every single chance I get. I implore you, when you come to church, be here. Not just show up. Get ready to serve God. Nothing drives me more crazy than a Christian says, well, the preaching's just not feeding me anymore. You're an idiot. The preacher's not feeding you anymore because you're not hungry. The preacher's not feeding you anymore because you ain't got your mouth open. The preacher's not feeding you anymore because you're showing up more worried about paying your bills. You're more worried about going home and watching the NCAA tournament. You're more worried about doing everything else but being here. When all the answers of the whole wide world reside in your Bible, and you've got a man of God that loves your soul, you're telling me you're not going to be here when you get here? Oh, I could preach about that. I could preach about losing focus through our daily walk, not even being there in your Christianity. Oh, you might show up to church. You might even say an amen or two and walk out the door and grab yourself some alcohol. You're not there for your Christianity. You're living as a Christian, as you're saying as a Christian, you're declaring yourself a Christian, but you're sure not acting like a Christian. God, did you remember the blessings? Remember what we talked about? The Lord will drive out your enemies from before you. He'll clear out the land of them. He'll send hornets before you. Wouldn't that be cool if that really happened? Think about that for a minute. It really happened back then. I'm talking about for you. Wouldn't it be neat to walk and a big bunch of hornets going in front of you, the next enemy that you face gets stung all up? Oh, that's not good preaching, Brother Dave. You shouldn't preach like that. I'd love it. There's some people I'd like to get swarmed once in a while. I'll tell you that right now. I'll tell you right now, I'd love them to stick their head up in that white-faced hornet's nest and just go like this for a while, some of them. Oh, you ought not act like that. Well, okay, you don't. When you get a chance to preach, don't act like that. God gives us the children of Israel the blessed promise. You just listen to me and do what I say. I'll take care of your enemies for you. I thought about it. You ever fight and fight and fight and fight? Seem like you aren't getting anywhere. You wake up in the morning, you spin your wheels until noon. I spin my wheels until 5 the next day. You fight and fight and fight and fight. Let me challenge you to do this. And this isn't part of the message. This is just free. Isn't it amazing to me that we so little consult God on our day? Lord God, you're going to have to get some things out of my way for me to get through the day today. I'll do what you tell me to do. Lord, please help me. In your Christian waking in the morning, are you there? Think about this. You ever wake up in the morning and say, thank you, God, for waking me up. Thank you, God, for letting me take another breath. 18 years of marriage. Thank you, God, for giving me a wife that stayed with me this long. I'm going to tell you right now, if you think about it, God has gotten a lot of enemies out of my way. I wonder how many more he'd get out of my way if I just would obey him more. Just a thought. How about when you worship God? Do you show up? Oh, I'm not talking about church. We already went through church. You do realize the best worship you can do is on your own. No, you... Oh, 3-4 amen. Listen to me now. The best worshiping of your Savior you can do is on your own. Thanking him when nobody else is around. Praising him when nobody else can hear. Oh, it's easy to raise your hands and get crazy and charismatic in here, which I think is foolishness. When you don't do this outside, when you don't live a joyful life outside, when it's just you and God, don't talk to me about singing now. Let me explain something to you. I want you to worship God. I want you to praise the Lord, and I want you to say amen. But listen, if you don't live a joyful type, I'm not talking about Joel Osteen, Mullet Paley. I can't stand that guy. I don't want you to live that kind of life. I want you to live the kind of life where you know you're saved. Did you ever show up to know you're saved? Did you ever show up to realize that God has saved you from a place called hell? Do you ever realize that Jesus Christ went to the cross and died for you? The least we can do is show up for him day after day after day, letting people realize that we may be down in the dumps, but we got a God that can get us out. You ever show up? I never forget. I pick on him all the time, but I don't care. He can take it. I'd go to the hospital to try to cheer him up. I'd walk out encouraged by him. Why? Because he gives me... I'd walk in with the Bible. I'd walk out with scriptures from him. Brother Dave, I've been studying. Amen. I'd walk out saying, man, I'm sick and tired. One of you damn, I'm going to bring a scripture to him. I'll tell you that. Oh, I know he was down in the dumps. I know he was sick. And Miss Darlene will attest to the fact that he was difficult to deal with. But wouldn't you have been? Yeah. And through all of that, he was there when God showed up. He was there realizing God was working through him. Oh, no, in the hard times, in the dark times, there he was worshiping God. I'm not talking foolishness. I'm talking about thanking God. In the bed at the hospital, thanking God for taking him through. And I looked him right in the eye and said, let me tell you something, brother. You're going to come out stronger on the other side. He was making me stronger just standing there. And let me tell you something, preacher. If I go down and get sick, there's several people I want, but two people I got to have. You and I got to have him. As I want him, because you're going to drag me out of the hospital. I'm not kidding you. You watch a man get over sickness like that, come back, can't wait to serve God. Let me explain something to you. He showed up when God did something for him. But that's not even what I'm talking about tonight. You know, it's amazing how often we as Christians get so off track, we forget who we are. We forget what we are. We forget this is not our home. We forget that we have a great and wonderful, mighty God. We get so wrapped up in this old world and its craziness, and it is crazy. We get so wrapped up in it, though, we don't show up when God does. Are you under the impression that God no longer walks among us? Are you under the impression that Christianity is a thing of the past? Are you under the impression that serving God and living a holy life is only something they write about in the Bible? Because, Christian, that's not true. Show up. Be there. When God gets you to come to church, be there. When God gets you to go out soul winning, and some of you ought to come. Hey, I'm not gonna beg you. I'm not gonna twist your arm. It's between you and God whether you come or not. Let me explain something to you. When you come, be there. Don't come because it's a fun thing and it looks good to other Christians to see you. I'm not there for that. I'm there because I want to be there when God comes down. When we do these things and when people need prayer, show up. When you're praying to your whole, you would think that it'd be easy. But I'm telling you, there's times that I believe in my heart when I'm down on my knees in prayer and I'm not even showing up. Thank you that nobody else went through that. One amen and a, oh, I wish I would. I'm telling you right now, there's times I get down on my knee and I get back up. I can't remember what I prayed about. Why? Because I didn't show up. When's the last time that you got out of your seat at the altar call and you had something to deal with and you showed up when you came to the altar? God said to Moses, come up unto me and be there. It wasn't just, come here. It was like, Jimmy, come here. And when you get here, right here. Because I got something I'm going to tell you, son, and you got to get all of it. You can't let any of it slip by. What we're doing right now is more important than anything else that's going on. Are you here? Now go sit down. It was like God was telling Moses, only you're going to get this. And I want you to make sure you get it. Come ready to hear what I've got to say. Well, that's good preaching, brother. I think Moses ought to do that. But that's not why I'm preaching it to you. I think when you come to church, you ought to be there. I think when you come to church, you better show up. Because I'm going to tell you, I don't spend 3 minutes on the messages that I preach. You don't owe anything to me. But you owe something to him. And the men of God that you've got in this church, the men of God that have surrendered to preach, called men, they get their heart all tore up all week long. And it's not like we come here and pontificate to you because we don't live down in the dumps where you live. I live it every day. I'm trying my dead level best to come out of it. We show you every single week how we as preachers are just full of holes. We are full of sin. We are people that battle every single week. But let me tell you something. When God shows up, I want to make sure I'm there. I want to make sure I'm focused on my Christian life. Did you read your Bible today? I mean, other than just now. Did you read your Bible yesterday, the day before? Did you grab it and open it up for more than just a coffee table thing in case preacher comes? I want him to see my Bible. The only reason I'm telling you this is we're missing it. Why are we missing it? Because we're not there. Now, what if Moses showed up and acted like 92% of the teenagers in our world today? What if Moses showed up? How you doing, God? And God tried to tell him something. Moses said, what? You ever had a teenager do that to you? I did that all my life. I can't blame the kids. I was that guy. It's only because I didn't want to do what I was being asked to do. What? Hoping that my parents would get sick of repeating it and then just not ask me to do it anymore. Amen. You ever had a teenager forget conveniently? Uh-huh. What if Moses went up into the mount and conveniently forgot what we're going to talk about? Huh? Listen. We as Christians laugh about that, and it's true because these kids are messed up today. But understand this, the only reason we think they're messed up because we don't remember how we were when we were their age. I had somebody tell me the other day, I said, man, my son, every once in a while, he gets a little bit of rebellion in him. And the person told me, well, do you get a little rebellion in you? And I said, yeah, I was full of rebellion. He said, well, make sure you remember that. Oh, that's not right. I was perfect when I was a kid. I'm imploring you today, though, honestly. I'm imploring you, don't miss it. Don't miss it. I got a question. When God comes down, where are you? Thomas, doubting Thomas, standing in the midst of Christ. I'll believe you when I see the holes. He missed it. He missed it all along. Thomas was there, but not there. He didn't get it. And here we are, pouring our hearts out in church services. We want you to get it. Get it. Not from us, not from the mouth of this preacher, not from the mouth of that preacher, but from God telling you what's supposed to go on in your life. You're supposed to obey God, not obey men. You're supposed to obey God and the things that He's got for you. And He will drive out the enemies from before you if you obey Him. Now, Moses, come on up. I got something to show you. And when you get here, I want you to be there. I don't want you fooling around. I don't want you wasting time. I don't want you to turn on the Indians game before you come. I don't want you to be watching with your eyes glued to the TV set, realizing if you show up 10 minutes late for church, we aren't started anyways. It's true. So we'll spend 10 more minutes in front of the tube getting mad that the team we love is losing, and then come in with a heart irritated that our team is losing. No, we joke about that, but is that not the truth? How many times do you come to church upset that the Browns are losing? It's going to be the rest of your life. You might as well get it over with now. I'm saying that to you, and that's, yeah, it's funny, but I'm saying that to you because, listen, Christian, how much stock are you putting in the things of the world? God says, Moses, come here and be here. Look what this says. I want you to see this. And the Lord said unto Moses, come up to me into the mount and be there. And verse 12, still. And I will give thee tables of stone and a law and commandments which I have written that thou mayest teach them. What did God want Moses to have? He wanted him to have God's word. He wanted him to have God's word in written form so he could teach it to future generations. Now listen, I don't know about you, but Brother Bobby, I think that's a pretty important reason to show up to the teen class. I don't know about you, Pastor Skyver, but I think that's a pretty important reason to show up to church, to take this beloved word of God and teach it to future generations. I think that's pretty important. I think that merits God saying, you be here when you get here. Amen? I want you to get this, and there's a few things, and I'll move along much quicker. He said unto the elders, and this is verse 14. He said unto the elders, tarry ye here for us until we come again unto you, and behold, Aaron and Hur are with you. If any man have any matters to do, let him come unto them. And Moses went up into the mount, and a cloud covered the mount, and the glory of the Lord abode upon Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it 6 days. Now I want you to see, the first thing I want you to understand is be there. When you come here, be there, and be patient enough to wait for God's glory. Be patient enough to wait for God's glory. The reason I say that to you, it's easiest for an evangelist to come through here, preach one sugar lick message, and you think that he's a better preacher than your pastor. I say that to you because understand this, the hardest job in the whole wide world, that's why it's not a job, it's a calling. The hardest calling in the whole wide world is being a pastor of a people. It's because they have the burden and care of your souls on their shoulders. So when some fella comes up and evangelizes to you for 25 minutes and leaves, and you're excited, and I want you to be, it's preaching of God's word, understand, I want you to be, but that man doesn't care for your souls. This man cares for your souls. He's not commissioned to care for your souls. He cares for you, but he's not commissioned to care for your souls. Your man of God is commissioned to care for your souls. Have the patience to wait for the glory of God to come down. Have the patience to wait. It's amazing. We as Christians in America today, if we can't microwave it, man, anymore, the microwave's getting too slow. Good night, we've got Easy Mac. 3.5 minutes, really? I only get 30 minutes for lunch. I got 27 minutes to eat it. It takes you 3 bites, you'll get through. But it's true, as Christians, we want it now. We want everything now. We want it right now. God says, hey, come here. And then wait 6 days. Think about that. Think about that for me. He says, Moses, I want you to come up here. I want you to be here. So he's here for 6 days. Think about this with me. Waiting for the glory of God to come down with anticipation. Now listen to me. I want you to listen to me. What day is today? Sunday. What's 6 more days from now? then the seventh day, the glory of God comes down. I'm just playing with you right now, but understand this. I look forward to church. I look forward to the glory of God coming down. Are you here? Oh, Moses, be there. No, Moses could have waited 3.5 days. Say, you know what, God, I don't know what in the world you're doing. I'm going back down here. I'm thirsty. Is that what he did? He had the patience to wait for the glory of God to come down. He had the patience to wait for the glory of God to come down. He said, I'm not leaving until God does something with me. When's the last time you got so concerned about your Christian walk that you said, I'm not leaving until you do something with me? When's the last time you got so concerned about your Christian walk, you went to the altar and said, God, I'm going to come here every service until you tell me what you want me to do. By the way, can I help you a little bit with what you can do? We all want this great magnanimous calling. Let me tell you something. You know what the first thing God wants you to do? He wants you to read his word. Don't expect God to give you an occupation until you're ready to read the manual. Don't expect God to come down in a miraculous way in your life. You won't give him 5 minutes in his word every day. You better start praying. Good Lord, have mercy. I mean, you want me to tell you who God calls to do stuff? And by the way, he's given everybody a ministry. Don't you dare come to me and say, well, God didn't give me anything to do. Baloney. That's Greek. Oh, he gave you something to do. Did you show up to do it? It's a question. Because honest to goodness, he's given you this to read. He's giving you this to show up. He's giving you this. He's giving you the altar. He's giving you preaching. He's giving you service. Do you think he's going to call somebody to a great and wonderful work that won't show up to church on Sunday nights? Do what I say, and I will drive the enemies out before you. Do what I say, and I'll send big stinging insects. And big stinging insects called hornets from God are probably pretty bad hornets. I could see trying to slap one of them babies when it lands on you. I mean, slap me. I'm going to tell you something. We as Christians are missing the boat of serving God. We're missing the boat of serving God. Well, what's God done for me? I've heard so many Christians say that. You know, God hasn't done anything in my life in so long. God does something for you every day. If you'd grab a hold of his Bible once in a while and read about what it says, you understand I do like it when we read the Bible. You do understand that this is where the power of God, we can read about it. His word is quick, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. You got to understand something. If you're not willing to do this, he says, read my word. And we don't do it. Why can we expect that he would do something for us? Because this word is all about that. In the first verses I read to you, he said, this is what I want you to have. Look what it says. Not only did he say, be there with the patience to wait on God's glory, be there to get ready to build. The very next thing he talks about, and building and sacrifice goes back to back, but we're going to go with building first. He instructs Moses on how to build something, his tabernacle. He wants Moses, and by the way, if you read through this, it takes 141 verses. The next 141 verses for God to get across to Moses exactly how to build his tabernacle. He, down to the most minute point, gives Moses instruction on how to build his tabernacle. I'm going to give you this, and I'll skip off this point. The Bible says you are fearfully and wonderfully made. Every single person in this room is different from everybody else, not one person the same. Meticulously, down to the last little thing, he made you just a little different. Every single thing about us is God commanded, God made, God done. Fearfully, wonderfully, it's scary what God has done. To me, that's a wondrous miracle. What a wondrous miracle that I'm the only one you'll ever have to deal with. Think about that. You're never going to get another Dave come through here. Not like me. See, what you got to understand is this. God has given us wondrous, wondrous teaching here saying, when I tell you how to build your life, when I teach you how to build my tabernacle, because he's residing in you. When I tell you how to build that, I'm going to get real specific with how you lead your life. I'm going to get real specific with how you build your character. I'm going to get real specific with how you live in holiness. I'm going to get real specific on how I want you to talk to me and walk with me and read about. I'm going to get real specific. Are you willing to show up for the plans? He took these things down. And I don't know, Moses had to be brilliant. Moses had to be a brilliant man. And a matter of fact, I got to believe God gave him such knowledge that is beyond compare to what we have today. Pick the smartest guy, and Moses was unbelievably smarter than him. And he is being given an endowment of power by God to be able to comprehend. And I read this 6 or 7 times. I still miss tons of stuff about how God told him to build this thing. But Moses didn't. Moses showed up. He said, I'm right here, God. You just keep speaking, and I'm going to keep taking what you're giving me, and I'm going to do something with my life. See, it takes great sacrifice. That's the next thing. He said, go to the people. And when God asks for something from us, do we show up? He says, Moses, come up here, be here. When you get here, be here. I want you to get something across to my people. When I ask them just real simple. Where did Israel get all their stuff? Where did Israel get it? Did Israel go gold mining when they got into the wilderness? Did Israel go out and just come across some jewels? No. What Israel did on the way out of Egypt, God said, spoil them. God gave them everything they got on the way out. So then God comes back to them and says, now I want you to build my tabernacle with what you have, which wasn't yours, which I gave to you. I hope you're zoning in. Well, it wasn't yours, which I gave you, which you have, which I want. Now, I come to work, I pick up a paycheck, which was not mine, which I only earned because of the health that God gave me, the work and calling that God gave me, the things that I'm called to do. He brought you here to make sure that it got put in the plate so we can get a salary. It's not mine, it's God's. So when he calls and says, Brother Dave, I want you to tithe, I think I ought to show up. When he says, David, I want you to give to the missions, I think I ought to come and give to the missions. Why? Everything I have is from him. The Egyptians, after the, please take all this stuff. Israel said, okay. God says, give it to me. And Moses, when I tell you these things, I want you to make sure the people understand that I want you to show up on that day. Preacher talked about Ananias and Sapphira. They didn't show up. And then when they did show up, they kept some back. Now, Christians, I'm not here to get money out of you. I'm here to make you understand something. When you get your paycheck, thank God for it. Not everybody has a job. Not everybody has money coming in. When you get your paycheck, the first thing you ought to do is take care of your tithe. Why? Because you're thanking God with your increase. Thanking God. He doesn't want all of it. See, that's a great God we have. He doesn't want all of it. He just wants you to show up. That's all. Just show up and show him to be mighty. Not only does he want us to show up and sacrifice, not only does he want us to show up and have the patience to wait, but if you look later on, sacrifice takes 2 chapters, by the way. If you look later on, chapter 28 and verse 1, this works out great for the work day coming up. Next Saturday, by the way, work day. Bring gardening tools. Please show up and be there. Chapter 28, verse 1, and take thou unto thee Aaron, thy brother, and his sons with him from among the children of Israel, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office, even Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar, Aaron's sons. And thou shalt make holy garments for Aaron thy brother, for glory and for beauty. Make sure you show up and be there when God gives marching orders. Well, that's good stuff. You know, as you read through the scriptures, Moses, come up unto me and be there. He pontificates for 40 days. God literally gives Moses all kind of information. But if you boil it down, he wants the people of Israel, if you look at the foundation before this, and you look at what Moses ran into after this, it's a good thing that God gave him everything he did. Because if you remember, when Moses goes back down, and we'll get to the last one here in a minute, when Moses comes back down out of the mount, they're not acting so good. See, God, it's like preacher going away on a vacation and coming back to me preaching out of the NIV. I think he might even be more mad than Moses. Well, think about that for a minute. Do you see what a tragedy that is? That all of a sudden, Moses, after all this wondrous stuff, oh my goodness, can you imagine Moses coming down with glory to God? Let's do some soul winning. He's getting all excited. He wants to do something for God. He comes down here dancing and music. And people prancing around a golden cow. I love beef, but I'm never bowing down to a golden image of a cow. I can't understand that. I can't understand where they're coming with that. I don't understand what they're doing. It's a mockery, and God saw that. I'm going to tell you, when God gives your marching orders, show up. Here's what's scary. And I know you got to have a job. And I want you to have a job, and don't you dare quit your jobs. Unless you got another job lined up, don't you dare quit the one you've got. I don't care how much you hate it. Let me explain something to you. If your boss called, you'd show up. Oh, and I think you ought to. Don't misread me. As a Christian, I think you ought to be the best worker they've got. But at the same time, Brother Mike, when God calls, is it that important? When God calls, how important is it? When God asks you to do something, how important is it? I'll use myself as an example. There's many times God has told me, David, go talk to that man. There's been many times I've kept the track in my pocket and walked on by. Did I show up? But if my dad calls me and says, David, I need you to come over here right away. My toilet's plugged or whatever. I would walk across the parking lot immediately to get it done. He's my earthly boss. He's my heavenly boss. Yes. But we have an easier time ignoring the heavenly boss and not showing up for him than we do our earthly boss. Right. See, what you got to understand something is when God called Moses up into the mount and said, be there, he wasn't hoping that Moses came. He was demanding it. Let me explain something to you. God is demanding our service. We have a choice. A lot of times we choose wrong. When God gives us our marching orders, listen. When summer hits and the weather's coming to be good weather to go out soul winning, I expect 20 plus out soul winning. I expect it. Why? Because we serve a great God. Why? Because God has done great and miraculous things for you. Why? Because he deserves it. And when we come out to soul winning, I hope and pray it's not to say hi to each other. I hope and pray when we get there, we show up to do what we're asked to do. To be there. See, God's given us marching orders, Bethel. We're supposed to, I believe with all my heart, we're supposed to march over to Infirmary Road. But for right now, we're supposed to march here. Don't stop serving God because this isn't our end. Don't stop serving God because, well, this is it, right? Well, this is it. We're not going to be here much longer anymore, so why make this place look nice? Let me explain something to you. God's house is still God's house, and we're in it. And until we get out of it, we better serve God with everything we've got right here at Bethel Baptist Church, because I'm telling you, Bethel, we're missing it. We're missing it. We're missing it. We serve a great and mighty God, and let me tell you something. The God that showed up in a cloud for 40 days and 40 nights with Moses on top of that mountain is the same God we serve today. We just have lost the thought of being there. When God shows up, we're not there. We're not there. God wants us to do something great for him, but we're not there. When's the last time that God came down in your life? I'm not talking about in the service. I'm going to tell you right now, I believe God comes down in a special way at Bethel every single time we have a preacher up here. But where are you in your heart? Do you come? Do you show up when you're here? Not only for our work. But Moses comes down out of the mount. He sees all these things. This is the greatest thing I like. Moses gets mad. I love how the Bible says it. His anger waxed hot. I like that he got mad. And you may not like this as a Baptist preacher. You may not like this coming out of my mouth. Let me tell you something. I'm a little bit irritated over the way things go in this world and the things we let slide. I'm a little bit irritated when people walk in saying, well, this is a different thing. And we say, oh, you know, everything is the same. It's okay. It's not okay. It's not the same. It's not right, some of the things that are going on in this world today. And I don't think anybody else minds being vocal. But we can't. I'm sorry, I hate to say this to you, but I think it's about time we opened up our mouths and spoke out. Will you offend people? You think Moses made people happy when he took the calf and pounded it into powder? Do you think it made him happy when he pounded it into powder and strewed it on the water? And by the way, when you pound gold into powder and strew it on the water, it becomes red as blood. The children of Israel getting to watch that go down the river. See, you got to understand something. God wants to do a miracle. It's funny. Why do we think it's going to be a church-wide miracle? I'm going to be honest with you. I've read a lot of biographies in my time. I don't see the church-wide miracle until you get a person-wide miracle. I don't see a church-wide miracle, Brother Bill, until one person gets excited. And that catches. And eventually you got a whole church that goes forward because they're excited. The problem is when something great happens, when somebody gets excited, nobody shows up to be excited with them. Good night in the morning, when somebody gets down this altar, you see a life change, a person made different. We say, oh, that's great. It's about time, dirty sinner. How in the world, man alive, we should be picking them up saying glory to God. We should be excited because we just saw a revival in a life. By the way, we don't know whose life that is and whose life it's going to be. Dr. Hiles didn't start out as Dr. Hiles. Brother Skyver didn't start out as Brother Skyver. He started out as Rich Skyver, miscreant. He started out as somebody that you would never expect God to use. But there he is, and if he wasn't there, where would I be? You got to think about that for a minute. Listen, a lot of people have gone on before us to give us what we've got. I think in this day and age, at this late hour, I think we better show up. The clock's running out, March Madness. The shot clock is turned off. We're in the last 30 seconds of life. Are we going to show up? Are we going to be there in this day and age? Are we going to be there and let him build our lives? Are we going to be there and wait for God's glory to come, yet still working to wait for it to come? Are we going to be there in our walk, our everyday walk? Do people even know you're a Christian? And are we going to be there when we get our marching orders to do something for him? Are we going to be there, Bethel? He has a vision. He has a vision. Your man of God has a vision. We'll do it one more time. I'm going to help you. We're not going to do it ever if we don't start showing up. You say, well, Brother Dave, we're a great church. Oh, we're a fantastic church. But Bethel, we're more than this. We're more than this. We're more than this. And there's nothing wrong with what we have here. It's great. I don't care if every pew was filled with people. I'd still be saying we're more than this. Our God is not bound by the world. Our God is not bound by the Portage County building codes. Our God is not bound by our monetary situation. Our God is not bound. All we got to do is show up and do it. Because what did the Bible say? Do you remember the foundation? You do what I say. Bethel, show up. That's what he's telling you here. Show up. You do what I say. I'll drive the enemies out from before you. You do what I say. I'll clear the land. You do what I say, I'll make you go forward. And I won't make you go forward so you get overcome by something else. I'll do it little by little so when you get to the end, you can't believe you made it. Without looking up to me and saying, God, I thank you that I showed up. Be there. Bethel, come up unto me. And be there. Because if you're not there, who is going to be?